From the KTOO Newsroom, I'm Pablo Araspeña with your state and local news update. FBI agents arrested a Wasilla man this morning on federal charges he participated in the January 6th siege on the U.S. Capitol. Aaron James Miller is facing two misdemeanors, one punishable by up to a year behind bars. It alleges he entered a restricted area to impede government business. The other charge alleges his behavior in the Capitol was intended to disrupt Congress. The FBI arrested Miller after people in his Facebook circle told authorities he had posted videos and photos from inside the U.S. Capitol during the siege, some that included himself. One tipster called an FBI hotline on the day of the siege to report the postings, according to a document supporting the charges. The document says a second tipster reported that Mueller posted one of the videos to a Facebook group called Save Anchorage, which has agitated against pandemic-related health mandates imposed by the city government. At a hearing this afternoon, U.S. Magistrate Judge Deborah Smith ordered Miller's release from custody while his case proceeds, on condition that he wear a location monitoring device. An attorney representing Miller at a court appearance this afternoon described him as a 41-year-old construction worker who lives and works in Wasilla. At the time of the attack, Congress was meeting to certify the vote of the Electoral College, a formality cementing Democrat Joe Biden's victory over Republican incumbent Donald Trump in the 2020 presidential election. Miller's Facebook page no longer includes any photos or videos shared that day of the siege, but his profile picture is a shot of Trump, and he's shared a string of posts railing against immigrants and Democratic politicians. In another news, the municipality of Skagway hired a private catamaran on Tuesday to replace this week's canceled state ferry sailing between Juneau, Haines, and Skagway. As KHNS's Mike Swayze reports, the Alaska Marine Highways ferry, the MV Matanuska, is docked in Juneau until further notice due to mechanical issues.
On Monday afternoon, word of the Alaska Marine Highway vessel, the Matanuska, and its mechanical failure began to stream into Skagway Mayor Andrew Cremata's office. The Matanuska, the only vessel in the Alaska Marine Highway's beleaguered fleet that is currently offering service to the Upper Lynn Canal, was able to limp into Juneau on Tuesday. AMHS is flying a team of specialists from Louisiana into Juneau to attempt a Wednesday morning repair. With only one ferry per week offering service to residents of Skagway and Haines, a major break in service would put many spring break travel plans in jeopardy. Mayor Cremata said it was a team effort involving the city manager and vice mayor to charter a boat owned by Allen Marine to ferry residents between Haines, Skagway, and Juneau.
We all agreed that the nature of this situation and the fact that people probably have plans to fly south, missing flights right now can create a huge burden on people. So we all agreed that the risk of having it cost more than what we take in on the revenues was a risk worth taking.
The Allen Marine catamaran comes at a cost of $900 per hour. With an approximate 7-hour round trip to Skagway, plus a stop in Haines, the municipality could be on the hook for nearly $8,000. Mayor Cremata, however, believes that ticket sales between both communities should cover the cost of sailing.
We're pretty confident that we're going to be able to recoup the money so it doesn't cost taxpayers anything.
In the event that the Matanuska is unable to be repaired quickly without other fleet vessels in service at this time, Cremata said it may be necessary to charter more boat trips in the future.
If it was a long term, yes. Again, we'd have to go through this process kind of on a week-by-week basis to ascertain demand. And they only have one boat in the water. Allen Marine. So, you know, Haines may also have a greater need. But yeah, I mean, you know, we're always willing to do this.
This isn't the first time Skagway and Haines have had to rely on Allen Marine. Both of the last two winters saw scholastic sports travel and resident travel impacted by the lack of reliable state ferry service. The Alaska Marine Highway System did not respond to questions about the Matanuska by broadcast time. It is unclear what the mechanical issues are or whether they have a backup plan if the ship is not repairable. The Leconte is scheduled to be added back into the fleet on April 16th, giving Skagway and Haines two ferries that week, 3 the following weeks in April, and eventually going to 4 sailings in May through the rest of the summer. Reporting from Skagway, I'm Mike Swayze.
All Alaskans 16 and older are now eligible for the COVID-19 vaccines, but there's limited vaccine testing data on pregnant women. So even though they can get vaccinated, many Alaskan women are wrestling with the question of whether or not they should. KTOO's Claire Strempel reports.
Pregnant women are considered at high risk for serious medical complications from COVID-19. But the vaccines haven't been tested on pregnant women because they're a vulnerable population. It's kind of a catch-22, and it's the reason some moms-to-be are hesitant to get the shot.
It's a risk either way. It's not a fun position to be in, I will tell you.
Mackenzie Rose had only known she was pregnant for 2 days when she got the call that said there were extra vaccine doses in Anchorage if she moved fast. She got in the car and got the shot. She had thought about that decision before. She'd talked to friends and doctors about the vaccine while she was trying to conceive. But she says she still doubts that choice sometimes.
Everyone is just saying, well, just make your own decision. But it's really hard to make your own decision because you care so much about the health of your kid, of your unborn child.
Rose also has a 2-year-old at home.
I don't want anything to happen to me that's going to, you know, I just feel like nothing can happen to me right now. Like, I have a kid I have to take care of. It's a doozy. It's a really hard decision.
She's been fully vaccinated now for about 2 weeks. Her recent ultrasound came out normal and healthy, with a strong heartbeat. She says she'd make the same decision again, but the uncertainty is hard. She wanted a clear green light from a medical professional, and it just wasn't coming. Dr. Emily Rosenfeld is an OBGYN in Juneau.
It's a little bit of a tricky subject. There's not a really good, straightforward answer about that.
She says she talks her patients through their risk level to help them make a choice, things like pre-existing conditions and what their occupation is. But she doesn't feel comfortable making recommendations.
So it kind of becomes more of a kind of benefit risk conversation with the patient.
The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention are tracking the pregnancies of about 2,000 women who have been vaccinated for COVID-19. Of those, 275 have given birth. It's a really small sample size, but CDC says there haven't been any issues. That stands out for nurse consultant Cheryl Holzhauser. She's worked for the state's health department in the maternal and child health division since the 1970s.
I have a favorite niece, and she asked me this question because she is 6 weeks pregnant.
Holzhauser told her to get the shot.
We don't have any evidence of that would cause us to be hesitant or have concern, but we certainly have information more and more that's telling us that pregnant women are at high risk.
Holzhauser says there's a good reason pregnant women are typically left out of clinical trials. They are more vulnerable. But for her, the reward outweighs the risk when it comes to the vaccine. Pregnant women who get COVID-19 are more likely to need intensive care or get put on a ventilator than their non-pregnant peers. In certain age groups, they are twice as likely to die. Holzhauser says she's also concerned that severe illness could result in problems for the baby, like preterm birth. Multiple national women's organizations say it's unethical to withhold vaccines from pregnant or lactating women, even though safety data is lacking. Mackenzie Rose, the pregnant woman with the toddler at home, says for her, it was a crash course in risk assessment.
I mean, for me, I think for a lot of women, it feels really high stakes because it is high stakes. It's your kid.
I talked to a number of women who didn't want to speak on the record. It was too personal. But they were opting out of the vaccine. The state of Alaska doesn't track pregnant women who get the vaccine, so we don't know how many have gotten it. But women can choose to self-report to the CDC, and more than 30,000 women in the nation have done that. For KTOO, I'm Claire Strempel.
And just a quick note, Mackenzie Rose, featured in this story, is an employee of Coast Alaska, an organization that provides business services for KTOO and other public media stations in Southeast Alaska. And Alaska's state government is forecast to receive nearly $800 million more in revenue over this year and next year than was projected last fall. The Department of Revenue released its spring forecast yesterday. It's an update to the fall projection. For more on this story, go to ktoo.org. This is KTOO News.